It's the Movie Spoilers Podcast, putting all them movies on blast. You might hear some fucked up shit when you tune in. We don't hold back, it's just how we do it.
Back together again, my friends. This is Movie Spoilers episode 233. I'm your spoiling host with the most, the phenomenal one. Fuck, this is hard to do with one screen. I'm so sorry, people. You know, I'm used to having about three or four screens to have everything up and going, whatever. And right now, all I have is my laptop. I am still out of the country, but this is my last week, and I will be back next week. Cody will be back. That's right. Everybody will be back. So I'll be back in the stateside next week if they allow me to get through customs and shit like that with the stuff I plan on bringing back. So we'll see how that works out, because I can tell you this right now, they're not taking my rare bottles. If they tell me I can't take this with me, then I guess Asia is not my new home then. People, got an action-packed show today, like always. I mean, once again, this is your award-winning show, your three-time nominated award-winning show as well. And I got some questions to answer. I think I approved all of them. I don't know. It's been kind of hard to access American sites in this bitch. Not going to lie. Thank God for VPN and stuff like that and all that great shit. But either way, got that box office talk. Got to talk about the winners and losers. And I'm not going to lie, I don't even remember what the fuck came out this week. Blu-ray releases. Oh, yeah. See if something good came out. You know, you just can't top Civil War, you know. But we'll see. We'll see how this works out this week. And then we got that trailer talk with Storks. That new Warner Brothers animated classic that's coming out. I'm trying to figure out how the fuck I'm going to see that movie, because that is one of the few movies I did not see. And matter of fact, now that I think about it, I need to get back to the States, because I'm out of movies that are coming out recently that I've seen. And there's been a lot of damn screeners in the past 3 days now that I've missed. And I'm like, God damn, I could have got most of these movies over with. There's a couple coming out in December I could have seen already. November I could have seen already. There's some Oscar films that got screeners already and stuff that I've missed. I mean, I missed a lot of shit. So that must mean I'll probably be paying for this shit. So Storks, throwing that out there right now if you're listening to this podcast. That review may be a little late just due to me getting back in the country, because that shit's not playing out here. And having to go see it and then go review it. So that might be just a little bit late. But you'll get that Magnificent Seven. I saw that back in January. That review's been done earlier this year. So that's going up, definitely. You'll see that one. But let's go ahead and get into some questions, because, hold on, I'm feeling thirsty right now. You know, I'm feeling so thirsty. Hold on, let me get a sip of this real quick. Oh, my God. Oh, that's so delicious. Oh, my God. Alcohol tastes so much better out here. Let's go ahead and get into it now. First one I got here is from last week's episode. It's from my man Leo. He said, hey, P1, seeing how you're a big wrestling guy and have a background in MMA. Now, I think I know where this question's going now. I know exactly where this question is going. I got a UFC question. Yep. What did you think of CM Punk at UFC 203? Do you think he should have been in that octagon? Would you have taken that fight even with the small background you have? Small? What the fuck? I think you're mixing small with amateur background, bruh. Small. I've been doing mixed martial arts since I was 10 years old. And also, what do you think of him losing? What do you think him losing gives professional wrestling a bad name? Okay, you kind of lost me there, or whatever. But I think I get what you're saying there. Oh, people, man, you know, that's been the talk around the town, at least in America. I had to look this up on my phone or whatever, because yeah, this shit don't play in Japan. Anyway, though, I looked it up. I saw the whole fight. That fight was about, people, if you don't know, CM Punk former longest reigning WWE champion, a big superstar, and that's for him dropping since 2011. He dropped the pipe bomb, as they like to call it, where he just pretty much he was pretty much the Stone Cold Steve Austin of today's WWE standards or whatever. He quit back in 2013, tired of the company, tired of the BS and stuff like that. If I'm not mistaken, he started writing for Marvel Comics, and he might still be doing that, if I'm not mistaken. And then he announced that, you know, he wanted to get in UFC, or MMA, not so much UFC. And from what I heard, this has always been his talks around the town that he wanted. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, he's a brown belt in jiu-jitsu. But this guy, so he gets in the octagon. Dana White tells him, hey, get up in here, man. We want you to be here because you're a superstar. And let's be real, UFC don't have superstars. I don't think they really have box office draws going on in there. Now, personally, I don't really like talking about UFC on this show because I don't really watch it. There's a lot of stuff in UFC that I just don't like personally. And I'm probably going to talk about that a lot, actually. I'm probably going to get really deep into this shit. But UFC don't have too many superstars. You got your Ronda Rouseys. She can draw, which I don't even know why. Her fights last about fucking 20 seconds. I was like, I don't know. Conor McGregor, he's a star. I mean, without a shadow of a doubt, as much shit as he talks, like I always say, he backs it up in that ring. He fights his ass off, and he's a draw. He knows how to market the fuck out of himself by adding a lot of controversy to himself. And like the old man always said, controversy creates cash. You got your Brock Lesnar. He's an attraction just because that motherfucker is just a freak of an athlete. I mean, this dude is incredible of what he can do. And be honest, when I think of those, that's really it, you know. Back in the day, man, there used to be so many, but I think that Dana White, as smart as a man he is, you know, $4 billion UFC sold for and stuff, smart as a man he is, I don't think he knows how to make stars out of draws and stuff like that. So, you see him, Punk. Dude is huge. Everybody knows, well, not even gonna say everybody, but a lot of people know who the fuck CM Punk is. I mean, he is huge as hell. He's got a huge following, a fan base, and his audience in Chicago, ooh, man, that crowd in Chicago, when he was in WWE, they would lose their shit when he came out. Like, I know Chicago's a big hometown field for the boys and stuff like that, but when he would come out, oh, they would lose their shit. I'm trying to find his entrance right now from his entrance in the, what was that pay-per-view? Money in the Bank pay-per-view. That guy came out. People lost their shit. I mean, that was probably one of the loudest pops I've ever heard for somebody. Ah, shut up, Ed. But either way, though, Dana White offered him, said, come on here. I'll pay you this. Of course, he's going to take it. Who wouldn't take it? He's going to fight Mickey Gall. Mickey Gall's a nobody. Now, I don't say that in any disrespectful terms or anything like that. Hold on, let me. This is when CM Punk blew up. This is about 20,000 people. He ain't even came out yet. I'm sure Killswitch Engage will send me a cease and desist order. Copyright letter, yeah. I don't even know why announcers are talking. Really. The only thing that I can compare this game to is that the Chicago Bears were in the Super Bowl, and the Super Bowl were here in Chicago. That's what this feels like. See him come in front of his hometown followers. This is what John Cena is going to have to try to there's like signs in the audience and shit. They're saying, if Punk loses, we riot. I think I saw like five of them signs already. You know? I don't even know why announcers are talking. You're getting drowned out in this crowd. So I'm sure Dana White saw this and said, oh, we're going to make some money off this motherfucker. And sure enough, the numbers came in on UFC 203. CM Punk, big ass draw. He made $500,000 off that fight. Probably deserved because UFC had some high ass numbers. Ticket sales were high. Now granted, they probably were for the main event as well because it was a Cleveland hometown boy as well. But CM Punk lost in about 2 minutes, 43 seconds, something like that around that time. He's had really no athletic background, no martial arts training. He had only about 2 years. He won't even take like a couple of months off too because he had a back injury. Crowd is fucking crazy. Look, I've been to Chicago. As soon as I got off the airport, a pizza place, GTS Slice. That's, if you don't know what that is, that's his finisher. Go to sleep, whatever. And they sell fucking pizzas named after this dude out there. So, dude is a huge attraction. He's a star like a motherfucker, like no other. Especially in the world that he came from. So, in his right mind, you know, he wanted to get an MMA. Why not fucking take the UFC fight? I hear all these guys talking about, you know, what do I think of CM Punk's UFC fight? Basically, answer your question. I thought it ended up just the way I thought it was going to be. This guy, Mickey Gall, not only he's like, what? He's got about 12 years younger than him, though. Another thing, he's been training for this his whole life. Didn't know who he was, really, but I remember I saw his last fight. And a lot of people ain't bringing this up. The guy he fought in his last fight didn't even last as long as CM Punk did. And that guy's got more experience. So I love how everyone's ragging on, oh, he didn't even last that long, whatever. So, oh, about 3 minutes. Oh, that's late. The last guy he fought lasted about a minute. This kid, Mickey Gall, is the real deal. And I think after this fight, he's going to be a real star. And, you know, I've been watching a lot of interviews and listening to a lot of podcasts with him. The kid is real humble. I mean, you can't listen to this kid and tell me you just don't like him. He just comes off as like really humble and really blessed and everything like that. He just sounds like one of the perfect guys. And I think this guy, I hope nothing but the best for his career and fighting and stuff. And I hope he gets the fight he wants as well. I think he said at 205, if I'm not mistaken. And a lot of people saying, oh, he doesn't deserve it. And so I'm like, shit, if he can, this guy can go. You better watch out for this guy, Dana. I think you need to put the rocket on his back and let that motherfucker shoot store up in his welterweight division. Do I think CM Punk should have been in that octagon? Yes. Who in the blue fuck are half of these people that saying what the hell he was doing there can say who belongs in that octagon or not? And I love all these fighters and these some of these fans that are hating on it and stuff like that. Oh, he doesn't belong in there. And then some of these fighters talking about, oh, you know, he's hurting the business. How's he hurting the business? He brought money into the business. You don't see how this works? Money for one is money for all. See what I'm saying? If I worked for a place, let's say I worked for a company. I don't know. Let's just say, fuck it. I worked for Marvel. And the Avengers brought in, Avengers Infinity War brought in $5 billion. I wasn't in the movie. Had nothing to do with it, though. But since I worked for Marvel, $5 billion, that's good for the company then itself, whatever. So the fact that these fighters are saying, oh, it's a disgrace to the company, you better be closing your fucking mouth because your next paycheck can easily be coming from this man right here that came in his ear. As far as who being in the octagon, look, the dude put in his somewhat of his dues that he could in the time that he had to train and stuff like that. But if people talking about the disgrace of UFC, if you don't remember, UFC 1 was based all about this. There was no rules and regulations and stuff like that. The history of USC has been just throw random people in there, celebrities, or not names all celebrities and stuff like that. Pretty much fighters they found off YouTube and shit like that or whatever and stuff. So to say that he's a disgrace blows my damn mind. This is one of the things I kind of hate about UFC at times, is it feels very, how do I put this? It feels like fucking frat boys at times. And there's one thing I can't stand fucking frat boys. And you know, you would think that in the business that these other fighters would support their brethren that comes in here, want to fight and throw down and actually want to step in that iron. Because I'm going to tell you this right now. Half of the people that's talking that shit on the internet and stuff like that or whatever, Twitter, YouTube videos saying, oh, Punk don't belong there. I can tell you this right now, half of them wouldn't even make that walk. To make that walk to the cage or whatever. You know, you're in front of a crowd, and to see him Punk, that's probably nothing. I mean, this man has performed in front of, in the middle of between 400 people to almost 90,000 people in front of audiences and stuff like that. He's main event at WrestleManias and stuff like that. So to him, crowds, that's just another day in here and stuff. But to make that walk to that octagon, close that cage door, and to get in there with someone that's ready to beat your ass, I can tell you this right now. Almost half the people that's talking shit wouldn't even do it. And you would think, at least in my day, when I was training in amateur MMA and stuff like that, win, loss, draw, whatever it was and stuff like that, there was a brethren feel in that, I guess you can say, locker room, if you will. You know, we supported anyone, everyone that came through those doors and said, I want to get into that ring right there. At least that's what I thought the sport was about. Now, I know that UFC has expanded way above that and became a heavy mainstream organization because people tend to forget, oh, CM Punk, why is he here? Well, it's for money reasons why. That's why. First of all, I always say this about companies, and I don't know, fans always get up in their ass, oh, why did they do this? Why did they? It's to make money. That's why. They're business first, whatever they are, and their genre second, okay? They don't give a damn about the respect, man. It's all about that money, baby. All about that money, and this boy draws money in. But you would think that these UFC fighters would support him for wanting to come in. But no, some of them do. A lot of them do, actually. But then you got those few out there. And I always fuck up this dude's last name, but you got dude from a Fighter and the Kid podcast. Brennan Schwab, he comes off as, look, I respect him for getting in that ring and doing what he was doing and stuff like that. That cage. But on his podcast at times, man, he can come off as one of the biggest fucking douchebags you could ever listen to. And, you know, when you hear him talk about Punk and how he don't belong in there and stuff like that, it's one of those things where it's like, you know what, and, you know, calling Punk delusional, him and Joe Rogan getting together, calling him delusional. To me personally, I thought that, maybe I was just overlooking it, but I thought that his entrance, Punk's entrance to the ring, to the cage and stuff like that, I don't know, I thought it was kind of disgraceful. I thought it was kind of, they talking about, oh, it's disrespectful for him to be in the sport and stuff like that. Well, it's kind of disrespectful for you guys to be disrespecting him on his walk to the damn ring and stuff like that, saying, you know, you can hear it in their voice, I don't know about this, you know, we've been waiting for this, but I don't know if we should see this and stuff like that. It's like, dude, the talk for that was 2 years ago, and that talk has been gone and stuff like that. We're already here now. This man has laced up his gloves and stuff like that. He's got shorts on. He's ready to get in the ring. Why are we still talking about what he deserves and what he belongs and stuff like that? Dana White came to him. He didn't go to Dana White. Now, granted, there was probably some mutual conversations in between and stuff like that, but if you want to be in MMA and you get an opportunity where the fucking head honcho, Dana White, comes to you and say, hey, you can get a fight in UFC, are you going to turn that down? Probably not. Especially for $500,000. I can tell you this right now. You get me up in there. Hey, me and Joe Rogan ain't in the same class or anything like that. I'll step in the ring with him. I'll step in the ring with anybody in my goddamn weight class. I'm kind of in the midweight, welterweight division and gained about 5 more pounds or whatever and shit. I can make the weight. That's nothing. So you throw me in there. But I can tell you this right now. Joe Rogan, everybody knows his background, black belt, all that stuff, commentator. He can kind of has a lot of leeway into the UFC. He can say kind of whatever the hell he wants to say and stuff. But to me, I thought it was kind of disrespectful, just how disrespectful to the sport itself, of how Joe Rogan was pretty much telling people, in a way, even on his podcast and stuff like that. Change the channel. This guy don't belong here. He's just delusional and stuff like that. And I don't know. To me, maybe I'm looking too deep into it, but I thought personally that was more of an insult to the sport than this whole talk about he doesn't belong here. Who the fuck says who and who belongs here? What this whole macho camaraderie shit, whatever, about who belongs here and who's not. This guy busted his ass for 2 years and stuff like that. Now, granted, that's nothing compared to these guys that's done it. They scrapped and clawed to get their way since the beginning. But you know what? I hear a lot of guys say that. UFC ain't been in the business that damn long for you to be crawling, talking about at age 14, I was wanting to get in this business. Yeah, but not in UFC. So stop putting UFC on some, even though it does belong there, putting it on this pedestal like, oh, only the elite of the elite belongs here and stuff like that. It's all about making opportunities. At least that's what I thought the sport was about, but apparently not. I just pulled up his what's his name? His entrance here, UFC. Crowd popped like crazy. Well, at least when I saw it, I saw it from, you know, the UFC feed or whatever. But this is obviously they took those down and stuff like that. But crowd popped like crazy when his music kicked in, because he played his WWE music when he, not the one we just heard, but the one when he came back. Cult of Personality by Living Color, which, by the way, I love that fucking song. That band is great as hell and stuff. So when he played that, you know, he came out. And even me, I got into it too. I'm not gonna lie. I was like, it's clobbering time. And then I saw the fight, I was like, it's tapping time. You know, he made that walk with a lot of confidence too, I gotta say. Smile, like I said, he's used to these big crowds. You know, Mickey Gall, he was probably a little nervous making that walk, but I'm sure about the fight he wasn't that nervous. Now I gotta say, about the fight itself, CM Punk ran out at this kid like one of those fucking default characters in a UFC game. Personality. I'm going to be getting all kinds of copyright later. Anyway, though, the fight itself, when he ran at Mickey Gall, I said, no, what are you doing? That was like a big no-no. It's like if you're like Conor McGregor, Nate Diaz, I'm going to talk about his ass in a little bit too, whatever, you know, Brock Lesnar, anybody like that, yes. You can go ahead and run out of anybody you want. You got experience. You're a tough son of a bitch. Not to say CM Punk ain't tough. He is tough. But you a rookie as hell, especially when it comes to the sport. And I don't know if maybe the crowd got to him or his excitement got to him and stuff like that, but he charged at Mickey Gall like he was about to do something, and he got taken down with a double leg, and I was like, yep, that's a done deal here, son. And to credit CM Punk, he lasted in there as long as he could. Got out of that rear naked choke 3 times. Was a lot damn better than half the damn people that's talking shit would have did too as well. Cause I'm gonna tell you this right now, getting out of a rear naked choke, especially more than once, that's no easy task. Especially when you got some dude on your fucking back punching the shit out of you. Trust me, speak from experience. It's a hard motherfucking move. And then you got when he gets the double leg. Now I don't know if CM Punk just got nervous or just forgot or anything like that, or maybe his coaches just didn't teach him. Bruh, you get double leg. You gotta expand those legs out and sprawl out. Like, he took that double leg full force. Now, maybe he took the full force all the way to the cage. Maybe he thought that he could bounce his body back off the cage or something like that. No. That cage is not your friend when it comes to getting double legged, okay? That cage is your enemy, okay? But overall, he did exactly what I thought he did. Actually, he did better than actually what I thought he was going to do. I thought he was going to go at least to the second round. I know a lot of people was talking about, even they brought it up on the Fighter Kid. Well, if he would have won the thing, people would have been talking about, all right, this fight was fixed and stuff like that. It's one of those things where damned if he did, damned if he didn't. You know, he would have won the fight. They would have been, oh, it was rigged or something like that. They put him against a nobody or something like that. They lost the fight, expected. He doesn't deserve to belong here and stuff like that. Dana White said he probably won't fight in the UFC ever again. We'll see about that when that numbers come in. I think personally he should go to Bellator because they strive on this kind of attraction and stuff like that. Strike Force maybe. Work his way back up because what was that fight? That fight was Saturday. That Monday, CM Punk was already back in the gym training again. So he's dedicated to doing this. He wants to do this. And CM Punk, you know, watching this dude on TV so many years now, he strikes me as one of those guys. He's got a chip on his shoulders, which I love about him. And he's always trying to prove that he's better than other people. And this loss to him probably was fucking hurting his pride like a motherfucker. So I can only imagine someone of his stature, because he kind of reminds me of me, he's probably in that gym training his ass off, learning, watching that video over and over again, learning the mistakes he made, which was pretty much the opening of that fight. Does he belong in the octagon? Hell yeah, he does. Hell yeah, he belongs in that octagon. He went out there like a man, took his ass whooping like a man, tried to defend himself like a man. So how in the blue fuck can you tell me he don't belong in there? Would I have taken this fight even with the background I had? You goddamn right I would have took that fight. You goddamn right. I ain't calling Mickey Gall out or nothing like that. I ain't calling any of these dudes out because I got nothing but respect for them. Sometimes some of them come off as like fucking douchebags, like I said, or whatever. Mickey Gall, standout guy. That guy's going to be a star. Dana White, you need to put the rocket on this kid's back and stuff like that. But Mickey Gall called me out. You goddamn right I'd take that fight. Mickey Gall beat the shit out of me easily. I think he's got about 10, 15 pounds on me right about now, especially with his brutal-ass punches and stuff like that and his takedowns. Yeah, he probably easily would take me out. But you goddamn right, $500,000, you damn straight I'll take that fight. Does this give professional wrestling a bad name? Hell no, it don't. Hell no, it doesn't. It legitimizes professional wrestling. Look, Brock Lesnar, he had a fight. I forgot that dude's name who he beat his ass on or whatever and shit like that. But then he gets into, what was it, SummerSlam or whatever, and he busts his fucking this dude open, head busted wide open and stuff. I'm like, they had to TKO that match. So, yes, I think you get some more UFC fighting, it legitimizes the business a little bit more, makes it more badass. No, I don't think so. And personally, now on to, what's his name, that kid Nate Diaz. Okay, he's one of them douchebags I'm talking about. Look, Nate, I think you're a great fighter and all. Sometimes you just need to shut the fuck up. And you know the thing is, play this video. He's got a rant on CM Punk and how this is disrespectful to the business. Dude, you slam the competitor in your business. How does he think you make your business look?
Punk is it's horrible for the sport. As far as I'm concerned, great for the sport. They're gonna make a lot of money off of it. But I think
nigga, you just contradicted yourself. What? Yes. Terrible for the sport. Great for the sport. Cause it's gonna make a lot of money. You gonna receive some of that money, baby. Shit. Next fight you get. So shut the fuck up. Shit.
A big old joke. I'm watching TV. I'm watching the fights and. All of a sudden, this punk guy's coming on, and slick back hair, and a little puny virgin nose, and it's like he's gonna. Oh, big announcement! Punk gets to fight in the UFC. I don't dig it. You know, he is got no fights. I know he's a big draw. I looked him up, and everyone's going to buy tickets. It's going to be great for the...
Now, what the fuck is the argument here, then? you just said it yourself, whatever. You looked him up. Big draw. People going to buy tickets like crazy. Sold out arena.
In the UFC, but same time it downgraded all the fighters.
How the fuck does it downgrade? Okay, first of all... All right, look, I know MMA, look, and I'm speaking to a guy that's done it as well. I've stepped in that ring or whatever. Amateur-wise, I haven't stepped in UFC or anything like that or anything. Amateur and stuff like that. Got a lot of fights in my hand. I got a wrestling background. I got a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu background. I got a boxing background. I got a lot of stuff, okay? I don't think this downgrades any fighter at all. First of all, with the shit you saying right now downgrades a fighter, second of all, dude, downgrades the fighter. We talking about a sport where two people get in a cage and beat the shit out of each other. What the hell are you talking about downgrading the fighter? downgrading a fighter is Ronda Rousey knocking motherfuckers out in 20 seconds. I don't hear nobody talking about these girls or even these dudes that get knocked out that fucking quick or whatever and shit. This dude lasted damn near 3 minutes. And that's somebody with no training and background. Meanwhile, you got professional fucking fighters and stuff getting dropped in 30 seconds. I don't downgrade? Okay, whatever. Hey, whatever, Nate. You just keep on talking.
Pretty acting excited about it. Congratulations, CM Punk. Congratulations, this guy's coming. But it's like, if I want to, I can't go. If I want to, I can't go play in the NBA. And even stepping the streets, baby.
Man, you talking apples and oranges right about now. I gotta say that right now. We talking about from star power, professional fight, whatever. Don't nobody give a fuck if, like, a superstar or a movie star or anything like that went to go play football. Don't nobody give a fuck about that. But don't nobody care about that. We want to see them fight, though. You talking about apples and oranges, brother.
Play in the NBA if he wants to, because he feels like making a change. For a publicity thing, they wouldn't pay him no money, and they wouldn't even let him play. It's ridiculous. We're probably right. Like, I don't think you should just let some millionaire.
This nigga is actually comparing UFC to the NBA, NFL, or just the sport in general. Last time I checked, UFC ain't a class you can sign up for. Let me take that back. I did some fucking amateur shit right there. I said UFC. MMA ain't a class you could just sign up for in high school and go all state with it to college and shit like that. No. You gotta go through your own goddamn time and gym money and stuff like that to get that on your own. This motherfucker put it up there with the basketball and football. Shut the fuck up.
WWE guy, just come on over and play a little game, like have fun with his career. I'm over here busting my ass and fighting for 10 years and doing my thing and having a serious job that I have to do for this. And you got this guy gonna come over and probably get paid more than everyone in the room. And then I don't know if he'll do well. He might do great. He might do. But why does he get a chance? He's an amateur. You're gonna put an amateur in the pros. That makes us all amateurs. So I think it's ridiculous. And
you know what's ridiculous is the English dictionary. And as far as your fucking mouth right about now, Nate Diaz. I know. Maybe. People are like, okay, B1, you talking shit about his fucking ability to speak. Yeah, granted, I ain't the one for words and stuff like that, when the way I butcher the fucking English dictionary or whatever. But apparently, the way, what's the disgrace there is him butchering the fucking language of English right about now, because damn, can't understand a word this motherfucker talking about. And I can't believe they actually put a microphone in front of this motherfucker's face and allowed him to talk for 6 minutes, slurring and just saying, it's disgrace. That motherfucker sounds like goddamn Yosemite Sam right about now. I can't shut the fuck up, Nate Diaz. Granted, he probably beat my ass, whatever, but whatever, I'd take that ass whooping. So anyway, like I said, I went on way too long with this. This is why I don't talk about UFC. So, you know what? Moving on now. Will P1 probably would have lasted longer than CM Punk did? Hell no, I probably wouldn't have. My ego would have got the best of me. That crowd would have been, TP, I'd be like, I would have had, like, best in the world gimmick on and shit like that, whatever. P1 gloves, whatever, you know, all kind of shit. And Mickey Gall would have took my ass down to... Personally, I miss the old days of UFC when you could just fucking elbow somebody in the back of the goddamn head or something like that. No, they don't do that no more, though. So, or just slap a dude. That's probably what I would have done. I just slapped the shit out of him. But, and, you know, would have shook his hand afterwards and be like, thank you for this ass whooping. You brought me back down to humbleness level. V. Reigns. That's a nice segue away from CM Punk and UFC and Nate Diaz retarded. Anyway, V. Reigns. Bryan Cranston threw his name back in the mix for wanting to play Mr. Sinister. I never knew his name was in there in the first fucking place. Do you think with the credibility of Bryan Cranston, he could bring something to the character and also break the streak of bad X-Men villains? Well, I wouldn't know about breaking the streak. Magneto was good. I mean, he was in the villain in Days of Future Past, and that was like, what, the last movie other than Apocalypse, so... no, I don't. It doesn't matter what actor plays him. It's all about the writing and credibility of Bryan Cranston. What does that mean? Credibility? Look, last time I checked, the greatest thing Bryan Cranston's ever done was Breaking Bad. His movie wise, I'm trying to think back on his movie career, what movie really stood out as far as saying, my God, you have to watch this Bryan Cranston film. So no, I don't know. What credibility? Credibility of Oscar Isaac, you know? Look how that worked out. That don't mean shit. Bryan Cranston is Mr. Sinister. How the fuck would that work? I definitely would like to see that. What am I talking about? I wouldn't want to see that. No. I don't even know how that would work. So hell no. David Cliff says, you shut your mouth on DC. They are doing amazing things. Didn't you see Zack Snyder leaked photo of Batman? He looks like... Owlman. That's exactly who he looks like, David. And personally, I really don't give a fuck about that Batman photo. I personally don't give a shit about that photo. First of all, it's Zack Snyder. Second of all, everybody talking about these goddamn goggles. Batman wore these fucking goggles before. He's coming from people that supposedly read the comics, putting that in quotes and stuff. I can give a shit less about that photo. Matter of fact, personally, I can give a shit less about this universe's Batman. So, this does nothing for me. Moving on. Norris. What did you think of the All Eyes on Me new trailer, P1? I know you love Straight Outta Compton, so does this look somewhat similar to you? Well, the All Eyes on Me trailer, which I haven't watched that trailer personally. I ain't watch anything movie related, to be honest, since I've been on here. But look, I got it up right here, though. I'm going to go ahead and play this. Let's go ahead and check it out. Shit, this trailer, too. I ain't even see trailer one, to be honest. That motherfucker sounds like Tupac. I'm going to tell you that right now. And he looks like... The only thing that doesn't make him look like Tupac is he's got more of a round head. Tupac kind of had a coconut head. That looked like his mother. I can tell you that. You like right there? That... Is that supposed to be Biggie? That looked nothing like Biggie. Shit. Nigga gotta pay. The nigga gotta pay. What the hell is that? Okay, shut up. I think this movie comes out this year, right? Yeah. I gotta say, this trailer ain't doing shit for me. there's some scenes in there. I forget the actor's name, the one in jail he's with, or whatever, the other black guy. I like that guy a lot, and he looked like he was delivering his line pretty well. This guy looks like Tupac. Somewhat sounds like Tupac. Somewhat looks like Tupac as well. That head shape really throws it off at times, whatever, because Tupac has such that enormous looking fucking head or whatever and shit. But I gotta say, his delivery, it don't sound that really that fucking great. The nigga got paid. What the fuck is this movie about, by the way? Is it a biopic? Is it about his upbringing and stuff? Like, I don't give a fuck about this man's upbringing and shit like that. So, I ain't... Sure, what was good about Straight Outta Compton? Is there's a lot of story to be told in that whole NWA group, the fallout, the breakup, the coming together and stuff like that. Tupac, we've said this before, me and Cody, hey, what the fuck story can you tell about him? We already know already. And most of his stuff like here, there's a lot in this trailer of him holding a gun and just shooting people and stuff like that. I'm just like, are we just going to show us his crime side of things? I was like, I don't really give a fuck about his crime side of life here. You know, someone was asking us who'd rather see movies. I'm thinking like, you know, people like Wu-Tang, Public Enemy or something like that. You know, the Fugees. I'm talking about artists, even though that, you know, Tupac had some songs out there that were meaningful and stuff like that, but yeah, it don't seem to be what this movie's about, so whatever. Look, I was wrong about the Straight Outta Compton trailer, so I'll give this one a chance as well, too. But I gotta say, this trailer's not really, ain't really doing shit for me. No, it's not because, you know, Tupac isn't one of my go-to artists like everybody else or whatever, how they're so much in love. Hey, look, I love some Tupac songs. I don't think he's the fucking greatest as everybody like to claim and shit like that, whatever. Dear Mama, that's still one of my favorite songs, hip-hop songs played today. I think that song is just brilliant. Changes, Love Changes. You know, he's got a few songs out there I love. So this has nothing to do with, oh, you just don't love him like everybody else, so you just hating on the trailer. Hey, look, I love N.W.A., but I wasn't feeling that trailer neither, so... And I love the movie. So, we'll just see how this comes out when it comes out. That fucking Nate Diaz shit still got me kind of pissed off in my head. This motherfucker's butchering the goddamn language of English. He got the audacity to talk about disgrace and shit like that. What the hell would you know about disgrace? Anyway, though, people, moving on now. Snowden! I don't even remember this movie, to be honest. Question here we got is from Tom Brady. He says a really solid review here, P1, and kind of what I thought the movie would end up like. Did your boy JGL let you down in this, or was it the writing? Safe travels back and keep those reviews coming. Shit, you want more reviews? I gotta come back. So yeah, thank you for the compliment there, and also no, JGL did not let me down in this. Even though I hate that voice, it is an accurate voice of how Edward Snowden sounds. I thought he did the best job he could do. The problem is, he's just playing really a boring person. There's nothing really interesting about Edward Snowden. It's the story itself, but the character himself, or the human being he's playing, portraying, it's nothing really that fascinating about him. Yes, it is more of the writing. It's Oliver Stone. And plus, you know, Oliver Stone likes to always add these cryptic twists, messages, and stuff like that, but in this one, he just kind of laid it out flat and simple. So, it is what it is. Moving on, Blair... this movie I'll never fucking forget. Blair Witch. Kelder. He says, come on, P1. That first Blair Witch film had a lot of tension. You gotta admire the... Shit, you go eat a dick, dude. Seriously. You gotta admire the marketing that they pulled was sort of brilliant. I actually loved the first Blair Witch film. I thought it had that realistic feeling to its creepiness. Oh, did you really? Oh, okay. Wow, sorry for you then. How could you possibly hate that film? To each its taste, I'm guessing. And I ain't know nothing to guess about. That movie is shit, okay? How could you possibly hate the film? It's three motherfuckers you don't care about walking around the woods. Getting freaked out over fucking four little piles of pebbles piled up together and some stick figure men put together. Yeah, it's so creepy. Oh, yeah. Okay, eat that. That movie sucks ass through a straw. Oh my god. Somebody asked me one time, you should do commentary on that film. First of all, I don't think that can happen because I'm copyrighted like a motherfucker. And I've been getting a lot of those lately. Second of all, there wouldn't be much commentary. It'd be just like I was said in that review. People walking, more walking, they're screaming at each other. Guy kicks the map into the river. They're arguing again. They go into a house. The camera fell to the ground. End of the movie. People are walking out looking kind of pissed off. Yep. That's the commentary of that film. Ain't nothing to talk about in that goddamn movie. Just utter bullshit. Leia says, what do you think, P1? Is this a strong contender for your top 10 worst of list? Is it worse than The Darkness? Well, on a film quality level, I have to say that The Darkness is worse. That motherfucking movie got racism and shit like that. I mean, it had all other kind of shit in there that it was just like, wow, this is insulting to all so many people. It's not even funny. But Blair Witch, on a personal level, yes, to me it's worse than The Darkness. Because I think that franchise is just an insult to filmmaking in general. And I think all three of the movies. Personally, they always say that second one is the Book of Shadows. Oh, it's so terrible, whatever shit. What did you expect? The first one sucked. And this new one sucks too. So, yes, I think it is a strong contender for a top 10. Might be number fucking 10 for all we know. And now we're done with these questions. we need to talk about something that I love to talk about, and that's King Falls AM. And I'll be back in town just in time to hear the next episode of King Falls. But until then, King Falls needs some help. Oh my God, I know you're what do you mean, P1? They need help? What can I help them with? Let me tell you, it's really simple how you can help them. You can easily just head over to iTunes, leave them a 5-star rating and review, and that boosts their credentials up even higher. You're helping them in just a click of a little best podcast, whatever you want to write in there. You can put fucking I heart you. I don't give a damn what you do. Just leave a 5-star rating, and it helps them boost up in those iTunes charts, because hey, who doesn't want to be the best in the world in the iTunes chart, right? Even though I don't think iTunes really gives a fuck. And also, you can check them out at my website here at moviesportspodcast.com. You can check them out here. Yes, you can check them out here. You know what you can also do on the website? Listen to reviews. Oh my God, you know what else you can do too? Listen to other podcasts such as Throwback Tuesday, Movie Spoilers, Spoiling at the Movies. Oh my God, you got videos, Craft Beer in a Movie. And another video too as well, the top 5 worst films of the summer between me and Cody. We go through it all. There's so much content. Oh my God, check it out on YouTube as well, because we got a YouTube video now with about 5,500 views now as well. So that's 5,700, sorry. That's incredible. It's good. We're going to be doing more of those. Come November, it's going to be a lot of stuff. Oh my God. You should subscribe now. You should just do it. Subscribe to the site now. Just do it. Just do it. Like Nike, just do it. Also, you can also help out King Falls as well by heading over to King Falls AM. They got merchandise now. Why don't you go ahead and purchase up a little t-shirt or a bumper sticker. Put that shit in the back of your car. Put I Heart King Falls. There you go. Because I'm sure they'll heart you back as well. And I'm sure... Oh, wait. Kings of Country cutting me off because it's time for that weekend box office. Damn, you know, I wanted to keep talking about King Falls and Movie Spoilers and all that stuff, but Kings of Country don't want to hear that. They want to hear that box office. So let's go ahead and talk about the number 5 film, which is Don't Breathe, that Sony film bringing in $5.6 million. This is his 4th week in the top 5, dropping from number 3. And the budget on that was $9.9 million. It made $76.4 overseas, $31.7 worldwide, $108 million. This movie's a success like a motherfucker. I thought it was kind of damn near silly, but that's just me. Number 4. It's a new entry here. Snowden bringing in $8 million. I thought this would have been number 3, but eh. $40 million the budget, bringing in $9.7 million. I think it's safe to say that this movie... Wow. What a failure this is. I guess Oliver Stone just don't have that push. The juice, if you will, as he thought he probably did. And sure enough, out of the 3 big budget releases this week, this one had the lowest release, actually. It was only 2,400 theaters. The rest, the other two, one had 2,900 and the other one had 3,100. So, take that out if you like it, but $40 million, Jesus Christ. Yeah, I don't think y'all making that back. I just don't think nobody really cared about this film. I don't think the marketing was that interesting at all, and they were marketing heavily with just Oliver Stone's name on it. It's just like, I don't think nobody really goes out and throws to see an Oliver Stone film these days. He ain't made a good movie in God knows how long. But coming in number 3, also close to number 4, is Bridget Jones' Baby with $8.5 million. Budget on that was $35 million. It made domestically $10.4 million. Overseas, $28.9 million. Worldwide, $39.4 million. Apparently, these motherfuckers overseas really wanted to see this film. This is the 3rd film in this trilogy. And damn, I don't remember the first two. And I don't remember how well they were accepted, but I know this one's getting a great word of mouth right now. But I don't know if it's going to make that... It could make that money back. I don't think so, though. But I got to say, if those other two were received well, which I'll look up later. I don't feel like doing it now. Could this possibly be another trilogy that's positively received? I wonder. I guess that whole talk nowadays, though, about trilogies... They're so far and few between that are actually good. Because when you look up the ratings on trilogies nowadays, there's actually a lot of trilogies out there that all are fresh or have positive reviews. I guess the 3rd ones are there's always that trilogy, there's a film in the series where the fans get let down. So I don't know how you can say, because Batman trilogy, the Nolan ones, unless I don't like that fucking third one, Dark Knight Rises got some good reviews on every fucking review site. So some people could say that's a great trilogy. Iron Man trilogy, all three of them, great reviews. Even as shitty as that second one is, shitty is a hard word. Mediocre as that second one is, and how people are half and half on the third one, still positive. So, and there were some other ones too, that's all. I was like, oh, okay. This one probably could be the one to help with that now. Coming in at number two, which I'm not fucking shocked by this, Blair Witch, $9.5 million. This movie cost a total of $5. And no, I did not mess that up. It did cost $5. It cost $5, and they got $11.1 million overseas, $4.9 worldwide, $16. Why the fuck would they release this overseas? Who is watching this overseas? Nobody. Number one film is Sully again, $21.6 million. This movie is getting off strong. $60 million the budget, $74.9 million domestically, overseas 24.3, worldwide 99.2. It's gonna make that $100 million. I think domestically it's gonna make that $100 million. Worldwide, it's already there pretty much. This movie is got a great word of mouth right now. This, without a doubt, is gonna get some Oscar nods. I mean, I know it's early in the year already, you know, September, especially that early September, because September usually we get some good films that you go like, man, this easily should get nominated, but then there's so many good ones that come out in November, December, and sometimes late October as well, and that kind of just overshadows what came out in September. And last year was Pawn Sacrifice. This year, I don't think it'll happen with Sully just because of the star power that's in here with Tom Hanks and Clint Eastwood. So we'll see how that turns out, but I'm almost guaranteed this is going to get Best Actor and Best Director. Aaron Eckhart may get Best Supporting Actor. We never know. Some other limited release came out, that Mr. Church film, Eddie Murphy, came out, 354 theaters. That came in at number 25 with $338,000. $431,000 worth of them. I don't have the budget on here, but I'm assuming it can't be that much on here. This movie is getting some terrible fucking reviews, and the only good thing saving grace out of all those reviews is saying Eddie Murphy gives a really good performance. Apparently that ain't enough to save this goddamn movie, though. Because I'm hearing the story structure of this film is like shit. The next one is at number 21 is The Beatles, 8 Days a Week, The Touring Years. That came in at number 21 with 634. Apparently people want to see that movie more so than fucking Mr. Church. That movie only came out in 85 theaters, and yet that one made more money than Mr. Church. And it made like almost damn near $1 million, basically. And this is one of those movies, too, by the way, that's actually got that dual deal here. And by the dual deal, I mean this is a Hulu exclusive and was released in theaters. You can watch this movie on Hulu, people. It's on there if you already got like the membership and all that crap and stuff like that. This movie's on there, and you can check it out on Hulu, because if I'm not mistaken, it's a Hulu exclusive, and they also released it in theaters. So you don't even have to go to the theater to check this one out. And now on to the good old Blu-ray releases. This show is flying by because I didn't spend most of it talking about fucking UFC. Ugh. Oh my god, so let's go ahead and talk about it, and hopefully my rant of UFC, or I'm not even gonna rant, just talking shit, I guess, basically, doesn't impugn my opinion that I don't like the fighters or whatever. I respect everyone that steps in that ring, but nonetheless, let's move on here. First one we got here, that piece of shit film with John Cusack, Cell, ugh. This movie was shit. I want to say this came out like June or something like that, or July. I forgot when, but I knew this movie sucked ass. I can tell you that right now. And Samuel L. Jackson is in it, people. Sucking all the life out of this film. But either way, whatever. There's a couple in here. Central Intelligence, yes! Who doesn't enjoy that little comedy? Dwayne Johnson, Kevin Hart. I didn't review this movie here. Checked it out, though. Yeah, Kevin Hart's fucking annoying, actually. Obviously, and Dwayne Johnson, I liked him in the movie. It's fine. It's nothing really memorable at all. Personally, I actually forgot this movie existed, to be honest. It's kind of like the rest of this year, to be honest. Next one we got here is The Shallows, that Blake Lively film. a film everybody was praising and hyping up, which I thought was just meh. I forgot what I gave it. I think I gave it a streaming or a low streaming. I don't remember, but I just wasn't impressed with this film at all. Next one we got here is Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates. This piece of shit train wreck here. Yeah. Because they're nothing like watching a movie with horrible protagonists and following them through the movie and going like, oh, I'm supposed to like these people, huh? Okay. No, I think the only really likable person is the dad telling them, grow the fuck up, please. Yeah, and I couldn't agree more with you on that. Just like Dirty Grandpa, it was just a piece of shit, pretty basically. Next one we got here. Oh, my Lord. This movie, it's easily probably one of the movies this year. I think I gave it a rent it. And even at a rent it, I think this movie has the most lasting impression on me for this, not only this summer, but just this year itself. And that's just on the look and feel and everything of how weird this fucking film was. And I'm talking about The Neon Demon. This film, like, I wish it would have been better. I really do. I really wish this would have been a good film. Just for the simple fact that I could have put this on my best of summer list. And maybe I should have gave it an honorable mention, like I did Conjuring 2. Because this film, really, out of all the films I've seen, this one has, like, the most lasting impression on some of the shit that I've seen in here. Was just, oh, it was, like, downright eye-opener and shit. I do think it's not worth your money to spend on, but if you can rent it, which I'm sure you can for about $3.99 on iTunes or Amazon or something like that, $3.99, I don't think that's going to kill you. Like I said, stream it at home, watch it, check it out. You'll probably be bored in some part, but then when it gets to, if I'm not mistaken, the middle half, you'll start to go, what in the blue? You'll be more intrigued and going like, oh, okay, there's some weird shit going on in here. And last movie we got here, good old Warcraft. Oh, that little gem, right? People love that film, right? 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 God, that movie fucking sucks. That movie fucking sucks ass through a straw. Oh, so let's go ahead and talk about upcoming movies now, though. And we got a few. We got, oh my God, that French version of Beauty and the Beast is coming out. Yeah, and that's got a low-ass score right now. I'm not shocked by that. Once again, got to say this, let Disney do their own shit, okay? I know they don't have, I mean, it's public domain material and shit like that, but trust me, if Disney made an animated movie about it, you don't want to touch it. But other than that, though, we got Queen of Katui. I'm fucking that name all up, by the way. But that's that that movie with Lupita Nyong'o and David Oyelowo, and directed by Meera Nair, if I'm not mistaken, is her name. And she's an Indian filmmaker. And they say there's no diversity in Hollywood. And I don't know the girl that's playing the name that's playing the main girl and stuff. And it's about a movie about a girl who plays chess and stuff like that. Clearly, I haven't seen it. Because I've been out of town. They've already had a screening for it. I'm fucking up. I want to see this movie. 81% Disney saying, hey, we want a fucking Oscar this year. And we damn sure we're going to fucking win it. You let us down, Spielberg. Indian girl, you better get it for us. Next one we got here is The Dressmaker. Kate Winslet, Liam Hemsworth. Nothing else needs to be said about that. Magnificent Seven. Denzel Washington, Chris Pratt. And it's been staying at that 63% for the longest now. And we'll see how that works out. Yeah, I can only assume it's probably going to drop. So I'm assuming it'll probably go down to 59 to 60% somewhere around that time. So expect it, to be honest. And our trailer talk here, that'd be that Storks. Good old Storks. Storks.
In the beginning, storks delivered babies. Wasn't always easy. No matter how tough or
I just want to say, when I first saw the trailer like months ago, I fucking hated this trailer. Carrying on though.
Possible or brutal or inhumane or savage, we would triumph over adversity. Thank goodness we don't do that anymore. Now storks deliver packages for cornerstore.com.
Our new phone!
Always deliver. asked for.
If this baby finds her family, then maybe I can find mine.
All right, let's do it.
Let me show you how to fly this.
Hello? I'm a bird. I'm pretty sure I know how to... Ah! I was wrong! I was immediately wrong!
Is your seat wet?
Yep, I peed in the seat we were falling.
God, this fucking trailer is long.
Don't worry, honey. Everything's gonna be just fine.
We're gonna die!
Wolfpack, form up!
What is happening?
Man, I gotta say, this trailer is just some of the most generic ass shit that's saying, hey, what do you think kids will clap for? Ugh.
Sorry!
I remember this is the part I really fucking hated. Yeah.
Are you in love?
I am in love. Are you in love?
I'm in love too.
I agree.
Ugh. I gotta say, there was literally nothing about that trailer. Like, I don't even think the animation looks all that unique and stuff like that. Like, what is it about these other animated studios that's really not Disney or Pixar that really don't have, like, depth to their stories or anything like that? Or, I ain't seen the movie yet. Maybe it could be something. They're just going for the cheesiest, easiest shit in the trailer or whatever. But, man, I swear, these other animated studios, I will say DreamWorks tries. You know, even though those movies don't seem to succeed when they do try. You know, what's that movie? How to Train Your Dragon or whatever and shit. Obviously, we know Laika does. Illumination, The Secret Life of Pets, and they kind of just copy Toy Story, so can't really give them credit yet because the rest of that movies kind of suck ass. At least those Minion movies for whatever. But man, I swear, if you ain't Disney or Pixar, just the realm of trying to go above and beyond just doesn't seem to fit for these other studios, huh? And looking at this trailer, my God, man, it's the most simplistic ass shit you can throw in an animated film. It's just like, oh, I know this will get the kids popping, whatever. You gotta put these talking animals in here. You gotta make them do weird faces and have them just be the craziest creations you could possibly be. And, you know, hey, maybe the bird and window joke would be funny. They kind of played that the fuck out in this trailer, though. I saw that joke in here 3 times before they got to that ultimate glass one. And just like, yeah, okay. You can only play that up so much. Right. Maybe it looked better, but this trailer looked like shit. And then we get to the ending here with the dog, the wolves, and the baby. And, I really fucking hate that scene. I don't even know why. I just go like, really? This is what we're going for? This is really what we fucking going for here? I remember before I left, too, I was talking to a guy, and he was telling me before he saw the video, the worst film, he's just like, come on, Ice Age, one of the worst, they make those movies for kids, though, you can't put that on a list, whatever, it's like, why the fuck not? This is one of the reasons why I hate talking to general audiences about movies and shit like that, because when it comes to animated films, they're stuck in that closed-minded field of general audience of saying, All animated movies are just made for kids, whatever, and you shouldn't really judge them because they're on the level of 5-year-olds. Luckily for me, this motherfucker has a 5-year-old daughter, and I threw that out on him and said, you know, hey, so you saying that they make these stupid, idiotic movies for 5-year-olds and stuff like that, you think your daughter would enjoy this shit then? Are you calling her stupid? And he was just like, no, she's pretty smart for her age. Yeah, see, it all comes down when they say shit like that, but when they have their own kid or whatever, their kid is just the most important kid in the fucking world and shit like that. People will do that shit all the time, whatever. They'll talk shit about kids all day, but then they'll just brag the fuck about their child. My kid's really smart, though, for a 5-year-old. She does this and that. And you're just kind of like, oh, okay, all right. I don't give a fuck about your child, okay? Talk about that somewhere else. But this trailer looks like shit, basically. And I'm expecting this movie, by the end of the week, by the time Friday rolls around, I'm giving it about 50% Rotten Tomatoes. I'm just taking a guess, I guess. I think it's pretty high on Rotten Tomatoes right now, but pfft, it's earlier. I bet it drops. Guarantee it'll drop. And that is the show today, people. Oh my God, over an hour. Woo! Cody will be back next week. Oh my God, can't wait to talk to him. I miss my co-host. I miss that curly little Jufro, that brown cocoa skin of his, and that demeanor of a voice he had. Cody. Oh, anyway, though, people, if you want to follow yours truly and chat with your boy, you can talk to me on Twitter. I'm over there at Movie Spoiler Pod. I'm also on that thing called Google Plus and Movie Spoilers underscore TPO. I'm also on the grams of Insta. Check out my Trip to China, Japan, Taiwan series I got going on right now at Phenomenal 01. That's right. Head on over to the site, MoviesSpoilersPodcast.com. Check out all the reviews, other podcasts, videos, and everything else we do here. Go ahead and subscribe. You'll be the first to know when something goes up. You'll know the time and day. So that way you ain't got to keep coming back to the site saying, I wonder if these guys are going to do something new. We tend to do something new every day, and then there's 10 times when, well, we don't really do anything, to be honest. But guarantee you'll get a new review every weekend, so that's possible. So, I guess I'm going to get out of here, people. That is the show. That is the show. This has been Movie Spoilers episode 233. I'm your spoiling host of the most, the phenomenal one, spending his last week in good old Asia. And I guess I got to go back to fucking America now. Ugh. Fuck America. Anyway, I will be back with my co-host Cody next week for episode 234. Later, bastards. It's the Movie Spoilers Podcast, putting all them movies on blast. You might hear some fucked up shit when you tune in. We don't hold back. It's just